And as you might know, I'm privileged to have a TV mass every weekend. I do it on Friday afternoons, the recording, actually. But I'm confined to the whole mass to a half an hour, and the homily can be only 3.5 minutes. And they mean it. I can assure you that tonight I'm not going to stop at 3.5 minutes. That's why I'm thrilled to be here. I do go to parishes a little bit too, but everything's really restricted, isn't it? And it's kind of tough to get used to. You are doing so beautifully here, I can see, with the protocols, etc. But welcome to those who are joining us by live streaming. It's a joy to have you as well. And please know that you're constantly in my thoughts and prayers. Today is the feast of Christ. Now get this, the King of the universe. Is that big enough for you? The King of the universe. Why would the church exalt that upon him, especially coming from the scriptures with all the scriptural foundations? Christ, the King of the universe, because Jesus of Nazareth was actually the Word of God made flesh. Remember in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God? We know that that turns out to be Jesus of Nazareth. Phenomenal. And if all of creation came about through the Father speaking that word that created everything, then indeed he is the King of the universe. He's also the King of the nations. He's the King of this nation, in case you didn't know. And, you know, if we give him more authority and sovereignty by being obedient to him, the politicians and the people in public office will have a lot less trouble. Hope they don't cause trouble. Anyway, that's another thing. And so Christ is also inviting each of you and me to be the King of our minds, our hearts, our bodies, our souls, our emotions, because yes, he loves you that much. He's that interested in you. The scripture tells us that he can count every hair on your head. He knows you even better than you know yourself. That's another reason he's the King. Now, we don't relate to kings too much. We live in a democratic republic and it's different. And so, however, there is a king, there always will be a king, and Jesus Christ is that king. And when you look into the scriptures today that we have, he governs by in his kingship by being a good shepherd. So there's two beautiful images from the Gospels coming in here today, shepherding and ruling as the sovereign King of the universe and of our lives. Pope Benedict said this, appearing to the apostles after he had risen, Jesus said, "Full authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth. This power flows from the love of God that manifested in its fullness in the sacrifice of his Son. The kingdom of Christ is a gift offered to the people of every epoch so that those who believe in the incarnate word, the word made flesh, may not die but may have eternal life." See how beautiful this is? So this king reigns by love, by sacrificial love, by giving yourself away in love to others. That's exactly what he did. All the way, where is it? All the way to this. How much did he love you? This much. Each one of you. And I have such a hard time convincing people that that is true for you, each of you. So please take that to heart. It is critical to eternal life. In the first reading from Ezekiel, as a shepherd tends his flock when he finds himself among the scattered sheep, so will I tend my sheep. You know, a shepherd, he depends on his sheep. He has to sell the sheep to make a living. He's going to go after them when they get lost, isn't he? So is the good shepherd, Jesus. And you know, the shepherds in Israel, at night, they bring all of their flocks to this one sheepfold, and they're all mixed in there together. All the shepherds put all their sheep in one fold, one pen, in other words. And then in the morning, when they come to get them, you might say, well, how do they identify them? Don't sheep all look alike? Well, yeah, but he knows them, and they know his voice. So when he does his call, whatever it is, and I've been over there and seen this happen, the shepherd will carry a bell with a stick sometimes. He'll start doing his call and his sheep come running because they know that's the shepherd, that's their shepherd. They come out of the fold automatically when they hear his voice and they start following him. It's the same for us. Through the cultivation of the gift by the gift of the Holy Spirit of true listening, we hear the voice of the good shepherd. And we ask and we listen, we talk and mostly we listen, because when we hear that voice of the shepherd, we're prompted, we move, we go into position. We want to draw deeper love with him, deeper intimate love, and then move out in action to reveal his kingdom, which is already here, but not yet totally here. That's called partially realized eschatology, if any of you are budding theologians. What it means is, yes, the kingdom of God is already here. Look around you. Every night you see it, don't you? Nurses, the doctors, people in their homes caring for one another. That's the kingdom. Walking the extra mile, especially in a very dangerous time. That's the kingdom of love that God is working. It's right here. People are doing it. This community is famous for its outreach to people who are unfortunate. And in the gospel, you see, what does the kingdom of God look like? Here's what it looks like. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. How do we know that? How can we identify the kingdom? I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger in a foreign land, in other words, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. And those who will be accepted into the eternal kingdom of God are those who did these things. See, it's not just about nice thoughts, nice sentiments. It's also about actions. And if you've given money to organizations that do that, if you yourself have given your time and talent to reach out in any of these ways, you're showing forth, you're actually unveiling the kingdom of God already here by all these acts of loving kindness. And we call them the corporal works of mercy. Well, look in the catechism. It's right there. It comes out of the scriptures, Matthew 25. A lot of people say we'll probably be judged on this more than anything else. You reveal the kingdom of God by your acts to those who were poor, forgotten, neglected. We know today that there are a lot of people who are spiritually suffering terribly. A lot of brokenness in homes and in persons and in relationships. A lot of wounds that people are carrying with them. Jesus doesn't run away from that, and neither should we. He steps right in there. He welcomes us in. He says, may I come into your home with all your darkness, your sins, whatever it is. Doesn't matter to him. Yes, he is a God of justice as the king, but the justice is always mitigated by mercy, especially if there is repentance and a turn from old sinful ways to make a choice for the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom of light, joy, peace, happiness, beautiful relationship. And so, brothers and sisters, we have to pray for a healing in the divisions in our country over the last few months, especially over the elections, and that we can begin to reveal the kingdom of God, because Christ is in charge here, if we really let him be, and if we respond to his constant invitations to change ourselves and to build bridges, especially with people we don't agree with at all. Even if they're an enemy, what did Jesus say about your enemies? Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. That's what the kingdom of God is. Not finding more and more ways to dissociate yourself from people you don't like or people you don't agree with. And I understand the struggle very well. I get frustrated myself, but you know, and it all boils down to, what does it boil down to? Love in action. First of all, love for God, keeping your relationship to Christ in tip-top shape, coming to Mass when we get out of this terrible situation, to come to Mass to give God praise on his day. You know, his day is Sunday. This is a vigil for Sunday. Saturday night is a vigil for Sunday. When we give God the first hours of the first day of the week, when we put God first by studying his word, by praying as a family together. And by the way, look at all the blessings in the homes because of this darn COVID. Because people have started praying more at home, hopefully. Now others have gotten way more lost too. We have to pray for them and help them. But God is everywhere. Jesus is healing people in their homes. Children are reporting divine visitations from angels. Beautiful things are happening. Beautiful things are happening. Despite all these struggles and difficulties. Don't give up hope. This is some kind of huge transformation that's happening to the whole world, not just the United States. Some huge transformation. And we don't know what it is, but you know what? You and I got to be ready. If he's coming back, we got to make sure he's happy when he gets back here. He's already here, you know, but when he fully returns, we need to be ready to welcome him. We need to be like those bridegrooms and like the brides or the attendants at the wedding in the scriptures. Some of them had oil in their flagons. Others ran out because they didn't have enough good works, Matthew 25 works, to be able to show and keep their candles burning when the bridegroom returned to the wedding party. We want to be ready to go. You'll hear in the preface at Mass this evening, for you anointed your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, with the oil of gladness. The oil of oil is a special thing, especially used in ceremonies. We use it all the time in Catholic Church, baptism, confirmation, ordinations, anointing of the sick. Oil is very symbolic and very important because it means the anointing with the Holy Spirit. Special designations and consecrations of people and sometimes things. When this altar was consecrated, it It was spread with holy chrism oil. Every altar in the Catholic Church is always consecrated. If it's a solid altar, if it's movable, we don't. If it's solid like this one, then consecrate it. Priest and King of all creation, so that by offering himself on the altar of the cross, Jesus offered himself as a priest and victim. So as priest, he offered himself victim on the cross, which was pre-anticipated by the Lord's Supper the night before. He was a spotless sacrifice to bring us peace, that he might accomplish the mysteries of the human redemption and making all created things subject to his rule. We pray for that because he made us. He knows what's best for us, and he knows how to be the king better than any earthly ruler, so that he might present to the immensity of your majesty an eternal and universal kingdom, a kingdom of truth and of life, a kingdom of holiness and of grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. Whenever you do a corporal work of mercy, whenever you love someone, whenever you reach out to someone, whenever you take time to pray to give God his due and praise and honor, you're walking into kingdom territory. It's already here. It's not yet fully here, but it is on the way.